This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. Goldberg is still out this week. He is touring schools with his son Gage, different sports programs and stuff. You've heard us talk about him before. He's a talented young athlete, and I know his dad is super excited about his future. I don't know if it's going to be football or baseball or what, but they seem to be having a good time. You can catch up on Goldberg's social media and kind of get some updates on what he's doing, and we'll check in with him, I guess, next week when they are back. But wanted to go over a few things. I just got back from a couple of events. First off was an event for the new Ford Mustang, the seventh generation Mustang, the 2024 car. You guys have seen the pictures. It's been out for a little bit. They debuted it a while ago. This was the first time we got to get to drive it. Now, I didn't drive the Dark Horse, which was a separate event, which I believe they're probably doing right around the time I'm recording this, but out here in California, we got to jump in the 24 Mustang EcoBoost and the Mustang GT. They had coupes, they had convertibles, they had automatics, they had manuals, they had them all set up with performance packs and a couple of different options. So, and got to kind of cruise around Angeles Crest, a part of the mountains up outside of LA near Pasadena. If you guys are familiar with it, you know it's a fantastic road to go cruising on. If you're not familiar with it, it's just these amazing mountain roads. Like I said, outside of LA in Pasadena, kind of the Pasadena area, La Cañada, Flint Ridge area. It's a wonderful drive. And it's not that far from Irwindale Speedway, which we also got a chance to go to and do some stuff there as well. So kind of just going through the car, I think the biggest thing that we're noticing is the interior. You're seeing that the car now has a 12.4 inch digital instrument cluster where the gauges are, and it's very, programmable, I guess you could say. Ford is using what they're called their Unreal Engine. The Unreal Engine 3D is a tool used for creating video games. And in this particular case, it allows you to get sort of this video game feel in the cars. Now, there's the gauge cluster screen, but there's an additional, I think it's 13.2 inch screen that's sort of connected to it. That's part of the Sync 4 system and part of the center stack system. And in the pictures, I admit, when I first saw some of the photos, it looked a little like it's a big screen sort of tacked on to the dash. But once you get in the car, it doesn't feel quite that way. And they've angled it a little bit toward the driver, giving you more of a like fighter jet cockpit feel to it. And it actually worked out pretty good. It's a pretty nice setup. The amount of information and data that you can get on the screens is cool. And it's kind of the direction that so many cars are going in. I guess it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for maybe old school Mustang purists. I don't know. For me, I didn't mind it. I thought it was fine. Using it is good, right? So I guess what I'm saying is its usability is better than its physical execution, like how they laid it out. But for me, it worked out pretty well. And there's a number of cool features that you can do on it as well. And you can customize the different modes. And of course there's a normal mode, there's sport, track, and excuse me, a drag race mode and whatnot. And when you go and set the different gauges, yes, there is that Fox Body Mustang gauge cluster that looks fantastic. It does light up green like the Fox Mustangs used to. It's kind of a cool piece. And you can set that for the different modes. You can use it all the time, or you can set it for the different modes. There's a handful of other features that you're going to see on the car as well. A feature that they call exit warning, which is like if you pulled off to the side of the road or you just parallel parked or whatever, and you're about to get out of the car, if someone on a bicycle or jogging or whatever comes by and there's a warning so you don't hit them with your door, which is, I guess, good. it's pretty smart. The interior also has a flat bottom steering wheel, which I found to be pretty good. And it has some features like the remote rev, which is, you've seen it online already. You double click to remote start the car, and then you can hit another button and it revs it, and you get to show off at to your friends, your cars and coffee. It's a neat feature, and I'm sure it's fun for showing off, but it's just part of the personalization, sort of the gaming experience that they're trying to build into the car. So it's just another fun kind of thing to do. The interior standard is cloth seats. It has an optional micro suede vinyl inserts on with black seat belts. The premium model has upgraded wrapped and accents stitched across the instrument panel. The EcoBoost features what they call Ford ActiveX synthetic leather upholstery, while the GT gets real leather inserts in the seats. Or you can get the full leather steering wheel as well on some of the more option models. There's a whole bunch of different colors, different wheel options, different brake options. It has the B&O sound system, which we didn't listen to it too much, but because we're mostly focusing on the drive, but turned it on, sounds good. I'm sure you can do some personalization with that as well. As you can imagine, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, all the latest stuff with Sync 4. There's Alexa that's built in as well, and Ford streaming services, if you're not too familiar with those, allows you to stream music and podcasts and things like that through Ford, which I believe is a subscription service that they offer. And it's got Ford's Power Up software, so it can do over-the-air updates as well. So a lot going on there. As far as the exterior design, they did a good job on this. I can see for the different trim models, there were some things going on with the front end with a lot of black plastic and stuff. And I was just kind of looking at the different versions and trims of the car going, maybe that would be better a little bit better as body color, and maybe, a gloss black or a matte black, and just kind of looking at how I would probably do things on my own if I was doing it. But it's got some features built into the design that are meant to be a throwback to the original 60s car. It still has the tri-bar LED headlamps and the tail lamps. It has kind of a wider looking stance to it, especially from the rear, which is good. Although the car isn't physically wider, the roof line has been changed a little bit. It's been optimized to make it easier getting in and out of the car on a track day with a helmet on. It's thoughtful. I like that part of it. optimize aerodynamics. That's been a big part of what they've been doing on the cars as well. You might have seen a few videos and stuff pop up online about the giant wind tunnel that they built, but having sort of aerodynamic tested on the car with this sort of this new kind of chiseled design is pretty cool. It makes it a little bit quieter, less wind noise, a little bit more fuel efficient, a little bit higher performance. And I actually spent a little bit of time in one of the EcoBoost convertibles, and I forgot that I was in a convertible. The top was great. It was quiet. It sealed up. I think you're only really going to notice until you really get to high speeds. And I was doing, I don't know, 70 or 75 on the freeway at one point and still didn't really notice it. Yeah, so it's looking pretty good. Now we also have a couple engine options as well. We have the EcoBoost 2.3 liter four cylinder that is, I believe, 315 horsepower. We have a new generation, fourth generation Coyote V8. It is 480 horsepower, but with the active exhaust, it's 486 horsepower. So chances are, if you're getting the V8 engine, you're going to get the performance pack with the active exhaust. So it's 486 horsepower and 418 pound-feet of torque. It's got the Getrag 6-speed transmission. I believe the Dark Horse does step up to the Tremec transmission, so which is the 500 horsepower car. I don't have all the information on that. I didn't get a chance to drive that car. Like I said, that's a different event. You can get it with the 10-speed automatic or a 6-speed manual. The EcoBoost, it's not slow. I mean, by any means, like that was a peppy little car. Like we hit Angeles Crest in that thing as well, and that was fun. I grabbed one of the EcoBoost convertibles with an automatic, and really nice to drive. And then later, I switched it to the GT with a manual. The performance pack on these cars includes a strut tower brace, a Torsen limited slip differential. You can get an optional MagnaRide suspension. It also includes wider rear tires and larger brakes. It's a 390 millimeter front, 355 millimeter rear Brembo brakes. The GT performance pack offers brake ducts for enhanced cooling. It's got an engine oil cooler, and you can get the Recaro seats as an option, and of course the active exhaust. It also has rev matching as well, which you can turn on and off, like I kind of have in my Mach 1. Now the Coyote engine, which is interesting about it, is it's got a new intake system, and it's got dual throttle bodies on it. So the look underneath the hood is good. It's better. And they've got dual inductions in the front grille, which when you see the engine on an engine stand, I'll post some pictures of it. The symmetry of it is pretty cool. So I can see that being pretty popular in the aftermarket with people doing Coyote swaps. You can get away from having the one giant metal tube doing that 90-degree turn. You can kind of have some more symmetry under the hood and have both those throttle bodies kind of split off with air cleaners or some sort of induction piping going to both ends of both sides of the front engine compartment when you're doing an engine swap. I imagine that's going to be a big part of the Ford Performance catalog, probably something we're going to see at the SEMA show. There are a few other things. There's quicker steering ratios. So they dialed that in a little bit more. And now they've got an electronic drift brake, and it is basically allows you to drift the car. So we grabbed actually one of the EcoBoost cars with the automatic transmission, and the drift brake is just kind of like an e-brake handle, but without the button on it. But whereas normally you would have to use a lot of pressure to pull that brake, because, you know, if you were just pulling a manual system with a cable, you'd have to really kind of give it some effort to it the way it works. But this is an electronic brake. So the handle that's in there feels mechanical, has tension on it, but it's actually controlling the brake electronically. And excuse me. And then when you use it, it basically combined with new steering ratios and input from the e-brake, from the drift brake, allows you to kind of get around pretty easily. I'm not the best drifter that's out there, but they set up sort of a skid pad at Irwindale Speedway, and we got to test it out with some of Ford's drivers and some of the RTR guys. It works well. It's super fun to do. Of course, for your drag racing guys, there's also the electronic line lock that we've already had. It's got the launch control with the Christmas tree and stuff in it. So some pretty cool features that way, some pretty cool features for drag racers as well. Now, after that, we got to take one of the cars in the middle of Irwindale Speedway and do a little bit of autocross. And Ford was out there with some cameras and some drones and stuff. So I've got a little bit of footage of that that they sent me that I'll also post. You guys can kind of take a look at that. Now, the footage that they sent me isn't raw footage. I didn't get any raw footage. So I think they put some sound or music over it. You don't really get to hear the engine that much. But you get to get a little peek at what they kind of set up for us. Very, very cool stuff. So they're putting together a pretty nice package on the car. I think when you go through some of the exterior photos, you'll see what they've done to that car to kind of bring some of the nostalgia into it. If you imagine like the back taillight panel on a 67 or 68 Mustang, it's a little bit concave. With the tri-bar tail lights, and the modern version is sort of like an aggressive homage to that. It's got a real, instead of being, it's concave, but you'll see it's very, very, it's got a very hard line to it, but it does give some depth to it. And when you really kind of see the car in person, it's got a really cool effect to it. And the rear haunches on the fenders, it kind of dips down at the back of the door and then goes up, and overall it gives it a sleeker look to it. And you'll see that the car overall looks wider, but is not necessarily physically wider. So, there's some cool pieces there that, I think you guys will like. Let's see. So we, drove out to Angeles Crest. We started off with the EcoBoost car. Like I said, it was great. It was quiet, handled well. The Mustang GT, we grabbed that next, grabbed it with the 6-speed, smooth shifting, 6-speed. I don't know if they really made any changes. Probably dialed in a little bit the clutch feel, the pedal feel, the shifting feel, but it was good. It was smooth. I know some of you guys that have highly modified Mustangs with that transmission are seeing a few issues if you're putting big superchargers and stuff on it. I don't know if there's been any changes to it to make it any stronger. We didn't get a chance to really get into that too much with the engineers that were there, but I'm sure we can start digging into something like that soon. And like I said, the Dark Horse, I believe, is going to have the Tremec transmission. So, that will already be sort of the beefed up version of it. Taking the GT out on Angeles Crest, super strong car. That engine is fantastic. Like I said, it's going to be super popular in Coyote swaps. You know, both engines were great. The GT had a good feel to it. Massive brakes, really felt great as we were going through Angeles Crest, taking some of those turns. It was a nice day. It was during the week. It was kind of during the day. We kind of started off early in the morning. And so we were lucky enough that when I drove on the way up, there was nobody else out there. Certainly no traffic, like slowing us down. It kind of got us, gave me the ability to kind of stretch its legs a little bit. And then I had somebody with me. They paired up two people per car. And then the other person drove on the way back. We ran into a little bit of traffic, but kind of got a good feel for the car. Like as I was riding passenger, I got to look a little bit more into some of the features of the touchscreen and the Sync 4 system and the graphics that they're using and this cool feature where the car is up there and you can just kind of drag it with your finger and spin it around. Some pretty cool features like that. But overall, a fantastic car, like Mustangs have always been. It's a great jumping off point for performance modifications. Like we said, both engines are super solid. The EcoBoost now 315 horsepower, 350 pound feet of torque, and the GT is 480 horsepower, 415 pound feet of torque. But with active exhaust, you get a little extra. It's 486 horsepower and 418 pound feet of torque. Orders are coming in for the car, and it's been interesting. Whereas 50% of the orders so far, I guess 50% of the EcoBoost cars are coming in with the electronic drift brake. The Mustang GT and Dark Horse customers are ordering the manual transmission. 27% are getting the manual transmission. They've got some new color options for the EcoBoost and the GT. Shadow black seems to be the most popular, than their Oxford white and Rapid red. And for the Dark Horse, the media car that they use, the hero car, was that blue ember color. 39% of the people are ordering that. Honestly, I saw the blue ember in person at the LA Auto Show. And although a very unique color, I think I'd really like to see it outside. I didn't love it. But, you know, like I said, maybe in the sunlight, it's maybe in the sunlight has a little bit more of like mystic chrome, like we had on the Terminator Cobras some years ago. I believe the electronic drift brake, I don't know if that's available with the manual and the automatic. That's a good question. I believe it is. I think you can get that either way. Yeah, there was the exit warning feature. I'm just kind of coming through my notes to make sure I touched on everything. I think it's a good car. I think they made some significant improvements to the interior. I like kind of what they're doing overall with it, and who knows how long we're going to have this before we get forced into something that we may not necessarily want, like some sort of hybrid or electric version. But for those of you that are interested in some of the specs, the EcoBoost with the automatic is 3,588 pounds, where the Mustang GT is 3,832. You want to save a little bit of weight, you can get the manual transmission. So a Mustang GT is 3,832 with the automatic, 3,827 with the manual. The convertible adds about 100 something pounds. The automatic convertible comes at $39.91, and I'm sorry, the manual is $39.91 and the automatic is $4,012. Now the Dark Horse comes in at $39.49 for the manual and $39.93 for the automatic transmission. So it's a little bit heavier than the Mustang GT. And I'm guessing it's because it has probably a larger wheel and tire option, probably larger brakes. And so you're getting some performance items that happen to weigh a little bit more. So again, we can break down the details of that at another time. But overall, just a cool car. It's got a great look to it. I personally am not running out to trade in my Mach 1. I like my Mach 1. I like the style of that car. I like that it's kind of got the best of, Mustang GT and Bullitt and GT500 and GT350. Even before the modifications and stuff that I've done to the car, between its big brakes and the Magna ride on it, I like the car. I'm not looking to upgrade it anytime soon. I don't know if it was bone stock, would I pick up the 24 Mustang? I think the interior has some improvements. I think the electronics have some improvements. I'd really be interested in driving the Dark Horse, the 500 horsepower version, although I'm sure we can expect an even hotter version at some point, because we've had GT350 and GT500, and the Dark Horse is naturally aspirated. So the Dark Horse was basically taking the place of some of the mid-level specialty cars like Mach 1 and Bullitt before it. So I think Mach 1 has been basically replaced by Dark Horse, but I still expect to see something like a GT500. And I don't know if that's going to be supercharged or turbocharged or how it's going to present itself, but I'm sure that's going to be announced probably within the next year. We'll see how that goes. And kudos to Ford for taking this new body style car and getting it into racing with their GT4 race car and their sights at Le Mans next year and all sorts of sports car racing. And I think Von Gittin is already out there with the new body style drifting. I like Ford's commitment to getting into racing. So that part's cool. Now, the second half. So what I did next is I went to another event, which I was very surprised about. It was called Sail GP. Grand Prix, Sail Grand Prix. So this new organization is about 4 years old, and Sail GP is basically Formula One racing for boats. But when I say boats, it's a lightweight carbon fiber catamaran on foils. So when these things start going in the water and catch a little bit of speed, the hulls of the catamaran don't even touch the water. They're just skiing it, like on this, like a hydrofoil on this, this foil. It's a really, really cool design, not too different than what you see in America's Cup, if you're familiar with that, but that I believe is just a single hull where these are a catamaran design. Now getting into these things, a little bit more detail on the boats is I believe they're all carbon fiber. They've got some titanium bits. They're very, very precise because this is a new organization. When they launched it, all of the teams and all of the boats were owned by Sail GP. And then everyone was basically given a job, and with the intention that some teams will kind of break out on their own, like we see a lot in car racing. So, this is the fourth year that they've been doing it. It's been growing. There's 12 events around the world, with some really cool, locations, that you really kind of have to check out. They're going all around from Australia to, I believe, St. Tropez, and they were here in LA, and they're going to be kind of traveling all over. So it's pretty cool to see. So I was invited down by the group from Sail GP, fantastic team, fantastic organization. We were down at like Port of Los Angeles, San Pedro area. They have a couple different ways you can watch the event depending on ticket levels. We were invited to a little bit of a, like, where their sponsor partners are, hospitality area. Everyone there, by the way, super top notch. Everyone that worked was pleasant. Everyone knew what they were doing, which it sounds simple enough, but you'd be surprised how many times we've gone to events and you just ask basic questions. Nobody knows where to park or where to go or what line to get in. And everyone there was super knowledgeable. And what a great event to see. So there's three races that we saw on Saturday afternoon. They run again on Sunday. It's a 2-day affair. You see these boats come by, they're going fast. I mean, with the wind that we had down there, they were probably going about 40, 45 miles an hour. I think the record so far is about 62 miles an hour. Just incredible to see. And the amount of work that these teams do on the boat as they're going around sort of a short course. Imagine like a road race, like you would with Indy or Formula One or whatever. And there's these certain areas, these buoys that they have to kind of go around, these markers they have to go around. And so there's a little bit of a course to go around. There are some straights where you can really kind of sprint. We saw some passing happening. It's a pretty cool event to see. If you get a chance to go to an event, you should. Now, I believe there's going to be some TV coverage and plenty of stuff online that you can watch. But it was a cool thing that you might want to check out. I believe there are 10 teams in it right now. Two of them have branched out to be independent teams. The rest, I believe, are still owned by the Sail GP organization. The boats themselves, which I think are about $4 million a piece, are built by Sail GP. So whatever that means, I don't know if they contracted out to a certain company, but there aren't multiple chassis, if you will, in this case, hulls. Everything's pretty much the same. And the idea really is to make the competitiveness on the teams themselves, on their captains and the teams that are out there on the water, their strategists and whatnot. So it's really about what they can do in sort of an equal playing field. So anyway, cool stuff. Sail GP, you definitely want to check it out. SailGP.com is the website. You can dig in there a little bit. It was a lot of fun to see, and it was a great event. And I wish I could go to more events, but I'd have to travel around the world to do that, which isn't the worst idea, I'll tell you that. So that's kind of what's been going on the last couple of days. Mustang has been great. Sail GP has been great. So I think we're just gonna keep the show a little bit shorter this week, and maybe we'll catch up with Goldberg next week. Hopefully so. I think his trip's gonna be done. We'll see how he liked that. I think that's it, man. So thanks so much. Until next week, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.